Hi everyone, my name is Adam Small.
And I'm Jake Moses.
Welcome to our podcast, The Performer's Pathway.
A podcast adventure to help guide and navigate your musical life and career.
As a prelude to every episode, we'd like to remind our listeners that this podcast is about the other side of the musical coin. One side, which you see a lot at our website, mymusicmasterclass.com, is what to do in the practice room. And the other side is how to maximize your talent and skills in the real world, and that's what this podcast is about. Also, if you have a few extra seconds to spare,
which is technically only 3 beats at 60 BPM,
please subscribe to our show on your podcast app of choice and rate us 5 stars. You can leave a comment about absolutely anything, too. That small act of kindness will really help us expand our audience and continue to create new episodes.
And lastly, word of mouth is always super helpful. So if you like what you hear, please tell the world.
Before we get started here, I want to mention our monthly guidebook slash workbook called The Motivated Musician. It's geared towards serious musicians and it offers challenges, exercises, professional advice, and more to help keep your musical life and career on track. Also, as an extra perk, members get exclusive discounts from My Music Masterclass. And if you want to learn more, go to mymusicmasterclass.com, hit subscribe in the header menu, and you'll be good to go.
That being said, let's trek further down the path of
play first, play hard, no mercy. Mercy's for the weak.
We got to try and not
your enemy deserves no mercy.
It's weird, man, because like when I was thinking about this whole Cobra Kai versus Miyagi-Do, I feel like everyone should be both. I think that's like the conclusion I came to.
Well, let me just say this. There is a show called Cobra Kai, and if you haven't heard of it, it's on Netflix. You may have heard of it because it's super popular right now, and it's also in the Karate Kid universe.
The KKU?
Wait,
there's the MCU.
The KK what? Yeah,
the KKU. Yeah,
It's like the Marvel universe. So anyway, this is part of the Karate Kid, or, you know, basically it has to do with what's happening with the characters from the Karate Kid playing by the original actors, but what they're doing now, which is, you know, they're in their 50s.
But
you know,
it's great because it's
being in high school.
You're seeing like their two schools of thought, you know, grown up. It's like, you know, because it's like long run versus shortcut. It's like Johnny was super cool back in the day, and now his life is like a fucking disaster.
Yeah.
And, you know, Daniel's he's doing great because he was in for the long run.
Yeah. And he was also super poor. He came from less money and, you know, and he was bullied. But I guess you can say that both were bullied at some point.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a very, very good show.
It's classic good and evil.
Yeah, exactly. Classic good and evil. And of course, there's more than two sides to the story, and some people that you thought were just 100% evil actually you have compassion for.
Yeah.
And but regardless, we had an idea, or Jake had this idea, because he just got obsessed. I already saw the show. And I told Jake you had to watch it. He had to watch it, you know, and he did, and now he's obsessed with it. And he's not done with it yet.
Well, I think so partly because it's like, to me, it's all part of the Bruce Lee universe too. You know, and Bruce isn't around to like take part in this stuff, but the Miyagi-Do is very much, you know, a philosophy like that Bruce Lee was into, which he learned from, you know, his predecessors and all that stuff. This stuff's old. I mean, it's all ancient, you know, teachings.
Yeah, I mean, technically it's supposed to be Japanese karate because of Mr. Miyagi is technically supposed to be from Okinawa.
Yep.
And but, you know, anyone that's a real martial arts connoisseur will say, well, you know, that move is technically from China, or, you know, I mean, we're not going to go into that.
But that's the beauty of it, we're going to relate
this whole thing to music.
But that's all the beauty of it is it, you know, for people like Miyagi and you know, a real, you know, actual character in life, Bruce Lee, he didn't obsess over that shit. Like, he brought together so many different forms, but for him, it was the philosophy. And that's sort of like what the show is about. That's why I like the show so much, is because it is these two defining traits of these two worlds, which at first you just think of as good and evil, right and wrong, but it's not. Like, it starts to cloud up. And like I was saying, I feel like you need to be in both worlds. to be like a balanced human, which is kind of cool.
So let's just talk about the first kata that you're going to learn for the karate. So let's talk about your warrior's pose. No, we're not going to talk about actual martial arts techniques. So we're going to relate this to music because it actually is a perfect parallel. And we're hoping that you watch the show because it's badass.
Yeah.
And that's what Johnny Lawrence would say. All right. So if you're part of the Cobra Kai dojo, they are traditionally, as you know, if you've seen this, the Karate Kid universe, it's the bad dojo, right? Yeah. And then the Miyagi-Do would be the good dojo. And that's in quotes, right? So yeah. Here, anyway, go for it.
But yeah, like one trait would be, all right, go after what you want, whether you are ready or not, right? And like the flip side of that would be what?
Oh, okay.
You know?
Yeah, be patient and learn the proper skills for the proper situation.
Yeah.
Okay, I see.
It's to me, when I started thinking about this stuff, it sort of reminded me of like the shortcut world of music versus like the, you know, the long run, like learning from the base up, you know, like getting, make sure your vocabulary is all there. But like essentially a Cobra Kai is just a yes man. Like there's no, if someone fucking calls you out, you just go and you go to them. Doesn't matter if you're ready or not. Doesn't matter if you get your ass kicked. Like you go after it.
It's also about having that one strike that will end somebody.
Yep.
With Cobra Kai, it's more like if you hit someone in the throat right here,
yep,
you will kill them. You know what I mean? Or it'll cut off their wind.
Yeah.
And then, like, these are the one attacks that you must know. And, you know,
shortcut.
I mean, as musicians, yeah, it's a shortcut. Like, as musicians, it doesn't work like that, obviously. You can't just have, like, one lick or one way, yeah, to play.
And then just insert it in places. But yeah, and that kind of goes to the next one, like say yes because you can do anything. It's very much like it's always on the offensive. It's like you never back down and you never show mercy. But all this stuff is like, okay, well, can you back any of that up? And that's why it's right. Such a it's a dojo that's cheating is a big thing because it's like instead of admitting that you can't do something, you just try and cheat. You know,
and yeah, and so you're saying that the Miyagi-Do would be ready to say yes, but don't do something just because you can.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's a very defining trait of like being on the, you know, because Miyagi-Do is more about defense is your best offense, where
right.
Cobra Kai is offense is your best defense and offense. Offense is just right, everything.
Right. Well, it'd be strike first no matter what and just, you know, take someone out.
Yeah.
No matter what. You know, just you have to get ahead. You have to take someone out. You have to win the battle, right?
And it's funny because as we go down these, you start realizing that like maybe this is good though for musicians. But we can get into that. You know, like do not hesitate, attack first. You know,
I mean, there's definitely, but I'll, you know, you haven't seen first of all, you haven't seen the entire Cobra Kai series,
no.
And I don't want to spoil it for you. But there are some offensive techniques in Miyagi-Do that you don't know about yet.
Oh shit. All right. Okay.
Yeah, you haven't learned.
If that's in season 3, it's funny because my opera singer friend is in season 3 and I'm like super pumped to see like how she's in it. I have no idea like what her character is, but I'm excited for that. That's totally going to tie in music for me. Season 3 is probably going to blow my mind. I'm like scared for it.
Man, I got to figure out how she is now. I saw the whole thing.
I'll send you her Facebook thing.
All right. So we did defense is the best offense for Miyagi-Do. You also wrote, don't disturb something if it's in your way as a Miyagi-Do trait, which is a very like, you know, Zen philosophy. Well,
that's a Bruce Lee thing.
Yeah.
That's a Bruce Lee thing. It's like, as far as it, when, you know, when you see Johnny's character, every time he is after something, if someone is in his way, he confronts it with his fist. Like it is the way of the fist. He doesn't at one point, which is great. And he becomes the greater man and he gets what he wants because he gets that trait from Miyagi-Do, which is again, like that's his inner, you know, character arc, which is really kind of cool in the show. But like, if you look at the Bruce Lee philosophy, if there's something in your way, he basically quote unquote will go through it or around it like water. Like he describes everything as water.
Right,
so like flow, every little crevice, every little thing, like you can just go through it and around it. You don't have to put your fist to it.
You know? You don't have to smash a car through it.
You can
wiggle your way in.
Yeah. Like he won't destroy something to get past it. He will just go around it.
And again, you wrote for Cobra Kai attack first, which is in their motto, right?
Yep.
You have to strike first.
Yeah.
And as we know, Miyagi-Do wouldn't do that. They would, they wouldn't hesitate. They wouldn't rush it. They would
focus,
figure out what the problem was and react.
Yeah.
And then hopefully be the smarter person in the battle.
And here's the evil side of that. And here's the side that you don't want as a musician. The whole attack first thing, you can tell that that's 100% through self-preservation. Like, they don't want to look like a quote unquote pussy. So they're not even doing it to solve anything. They're just doing it to save face. So that that is just not a genuine, like, attitude to have in life. Like, you don't do something because of what other people might think if you don't do it. That's sort of, right. You know, so when you think of attack first as like a yes man, that can be a good thing. Like, that's more confidence. You know, don't let, you know, your confidence slow you down. But that's not really what they mean when they say it. Like, they're coming from a place of self-preservation, and that is not a good trait.
It's basically an evolved stance of dealing with conflict versus just going to battle.
Yeah.
You know, in my eyes.
Here's like the big takeaway with these two things is, you know, and I'm like this, it's why I don't like confrontation. I don't like damaged stuff. So you could fix something quickly, right? But that doesn't necessarily mean that it's fixed forever and it's not healthy. You know, I like to fix something where it's fixed overall and then healthy. So it's like, if you attack a problem just to fix it and get it out of the way, that's going to come back. It's just going to keep coming back. So it's like the Miyagi-Do concept is peace. It's unity. It's, you know, serenity. Because again, they learn this stuff so they don't have to fight. So in that concept, like, everything that they do in life is for the greater. That's why, like, his, you know, Daniel-san's, like, his life is just healthier. It's just better. There becomes conflict because he starts doing dumb shit and he's not listening to, like, his own philosophy in the show. That's where he gets problems. But, like, overall, when he solves a problem, it becomes a healthy thing, and it becomes a thing that grows in a healthy way. So it's not just a problem anymore. It's an actual, like, good thing.
Yeah. And I think that one of the last things you wrote here is don't cheat, right? Don't cheat to get ahead, things like that. And so that would be the philosophy on Miyagi-Do. And of course, Cobra Kai ultimately would be win by all means necessary.
Yeah.
So let's talk about playing, being on the bandstand or being in the studio, not even career stuff, just musical stuff, and how we can apply these principles to that stage. So, for instance, if the motto is play first, play hard, no mercy, this Cobra Kai mantra, as a musician, it's really not what you want to do when you're on a bandstand trying to have a musical conversation with a bunch of people.
Yeah.
Plus, you know, you have an audience to deal with and you want to make sure that they're happy and you want to connect with them. You don't want to play so, like, you don't want to just, what is the
word? It's not you against the world. It's you with the world, you know?
But sometimes musicians, they try to steamroll their concepts. Like, they're like, I don't care if I'm going to play over the audience's head. I don't care if, you know, I'm just going to do whatever I want because this is me. And that's kind of a Cobra Kai mentality.
Yeah.
And so is like, let's say you're on the stage and you're playing with a band that might be slightly limited. Like, maybe you're a little more advanced than they are. You can be an asshole about it and vibe them and try to play over them and call tunes that are too difficult
for
them.
That are just going to make them look bad yourself look
or
better.
Or like be like, oh, you know, I can play this tune in F sharp, but I bet it'll fuck them up. You know what I mean? This will be fun. You know, like, that kind of mentality is not at all what music's about.
Yeah.
And, you know, we can talk about the career stuff in a minute, but that stuff will not help your career either. I mean, if you get to be known as like a guy that's just an asshole in the bandstands, and I've played with plenty. The thing is, well, let me backtrack that. Most of the people I play with are awesome people in my life of being a musician, but the ones that were real assholes, over the long haul, it might not seem like right away, because you know, music is, it unfolds, your career unfolds over 10s and 20s and 30s and 40s, you know, a bunch of years, right? So over the long haul, if that person doesn't have like a come to, you know, whatever, come to whoever moment and realize that they have to change who they are, they will not get work at a certain point because there are too many young players coming up and too many good players that are your same age and older
yep.
that are fun to be around and awesome people and make the band sound better. So if you're just an asshole, like you just won't work. And especially we talk a lot about how little opportunities you have at the moment, you know, with COVID. Even without that, there's only so many clubs and so many people COVID that get paid to play. Yeah, COVID Kai. And, you know, and some people could take this as a very Cobra Kai moment. It's like, yeah, you see, the competition is fierce, right? There's only like 10% or a certain percentage of people that are going to make it or whatever this case
you
is.
To crush them.
We've talked about, yeah, this isn't like a business situation where you come in and you're like, I have to kill the other local businesses yeah. in order for my business to succeed. That's a very American capitalist yeah. view.
You could tell the way people drive. It's a very like,
yeah.
if I, you know, any chance I get to fuck anyone over for me to get ahead, that's how I do it. But if you, right. if you look at that, you're like, exactly. okay, well, that's basically what causes traffic. So you're fucking yourself and everybody else, and you might kill someone by accident. But it's the same thing as like, again, it's the problem solving. If you go into, you know, the music industry right now with this COVID shit going down and you're like, I have to crush everybody so I can get ahead. It's like, well, if we're not a healthy community, we're not going to live through this. Like there will be no industry if everyone is like, you know, for themselves. That's not like we have to get through this together as communities, help each other. You know, that's again, it's the long run.
Yeah. And it's also the same with My Music Masterclass. For instance, we have been around since 2012. And for anyone in this business, even though that our business is educational videos by, you know, musical masters, you know, whatever it is, it's all about relationships and reputation. Because when we call whoever, Peter Bernstein or Pasquale Grasso or Jerry Braganzi or David Liebman or any of these guys to do a video, or we did one with Tana Alexa recently, Antonio Sanchez, all kinds of people. They are amenable to doing it because we have always done right by musicians and we're cool and we're normal people and we haven't screwed anyone over.
Yeah.
On the other hand, there are other sites which will remain nameless that have come and gone just because of that. I mean, and they've also given us a hard time when we've tried to contact artists that I'm not as friendly with. So they've been like, oh, I had a really bad experience with so-and-so and they screwed me. I'm like, that's not us. You know what I mean? Like we have to explain.
Yeah.
And
there's damage being done.
Yeah, there's damage being done.
Because and like, of shortcuts.
And I've told this story many times, so I won't really say much of it again. But like when I was doing the Hot Pants gig every week with a bunch of super great musicians at Smoke Jazz Club every Wednesday for 7 years, I had, you know, there's one night, there's this drummer came by and he basically said, hey, your drummer, you know, I'm way better than that guy. And he was very aggressive, very like in your face, very like strike first. Like he gave me his card. And I said, I'm like, who the fuck are you? You know, I mean, these are my friends on stage. That's not how you, yeah, that is not how you do business in this business. This business is about friendship and it's about people playing and making great music together. And it's not, I mean, I don't know if this guy was a good drummer or not. It doesn't matter. I would never listen to him because of the way he approached me, you know? And so if you come in with that, like no retreat, no surrender attitude, which is another 80s movie.
Yeah.
You come into that, it's just like, it's not the right attitude for this business. Also, one last thing to talk about on the bandstand side of the performing side before we get into the career stuff heavily, because there's a lot in that. Let's say that you're playing with this band and there's this one tune that you have this big solo section on and they cut it for the set because of whatever. They chose another song instead. If you get really pissed about that, like again, this is that's a weird attitude to have. Like, it might be natural to some people to be like disappointed. Maybe they wanted a blow on that tune or do something like that. But in order to get mad because like you're not represented, you're not able to show off, I guess is the right word.
Yeah.
Or, you know, is not the right attitude to have.
Yeah.
So again, these aren't things that make you an evil person. And they are things that a lot of really normal people do have thoughts like this from time to time. You know, they want to show what they can do. They want to do this, but you have to keep yourself in check.
Yeah. Like if you look at the movies and the show, you know, you can tell that like, because it is scripted, right? You can tell the writers are like, okay, how do we get this person into a situation, into a quote unquote hero situation, you know, because it's a movie. So that needs to happen at the precipice of the film, right? So like in Karate Kid, he does his, you know, what's that stance
crane
called?
Technique.
His crane technique, crane. Right? So yeah. Like, obviously he's going to use that because it's a fucking movie and we need to do that.
They foreshadowed like, it, yeah.
Yeah, but like the way that it happens in the fight, it's a natural progression, right? So he gets evil done to him a bunch of times to the point where like he can't do anything else except this technique. It's, you know, he has to use one leg, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it's all this stuff. So like your life isn't a movie. If you've been trying this one technique that you just want to do it to show off, first of all, that is not a good attitude. You don't learn something just to show it off and like that's your moment. You don't do it to be a movie. Movies do that because they're fucking movies. But like if you've ever had a moment that happens naturally and you get this thing in your stomach where you're like, oh my God, like this is all coming together. This is crazy. That is so much more of a healthy, beautiful moment. And then all of a sudden your technique just comes out. And then you are quote unquote the hero, but it's a natural progression. Like you cannot force that stuff. And that's kind of like what you're saying on the bandstand. Like if you just go to a gig with the idea like, oh yeah, we're definitely gonna play Giant Steps tonight and I'm gonna show them all the fancy things that I do over it. And then they don't play Giant Steps and you tell the band leader to go fuck himself. Like you can't force your moment and then you can't be
upset.
It doesn't
have to be that overt. It's like even if you don't tell the band leader that maybe if you're just vibing and you're just, it's just obvious that you're in a bad mood. Like you're not going to be pleasant to be around. And again, you have to be there for the greater good for the community.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, you know, if you're watching The Stand or if you read the book, you know, you have to be part of like either Randall Flagg's community or like, or Whoopi Goldberg in this new version.
But plus you have to see the greater good in like what you're actually learning. Like his crane technique, is that what it's called? The crane technique?
Crane technique.
Yeah. Like he doesn't have to use it for only that. Like he's teaching him balance. Like that's a technique that has so many good things to it in life. Like he's not saying like, this is the technique that you use if someone breaks your leg and blah, you know what I mean? It's like, that's not what it's for. Like if you're playing over Giant Steps and you have all these fancy things, you should be able to use that in any tune. Like you don't have to play Giant Steps to fucking use those techniques. So it again like comes to the greater like concepts of what you're trying to learn. That's why it's not a shortcut. It's not, if you look at things like shortcuts, then you're getting no use out of one thing that could be used for everything.
So what are these questions you were talking about?
All right. So it's sort of like, you know, to get a scale of kind of where you are. Because like I said before, like you should sort of be in both worlds. When you actually look at the stuff in real life, you know, like there's one main one is like, what do you consider showing off to be? Like you need to sort of define that to yourself. Because showing off is definitely a Cobra Kai thing. Like, And it comes to me, the concept of showing off is the same thing as like, it's dangerous because you know how they say, like, if you have a gun in the house, then you're way more at risk of like using it accidentally and all this stuff. I feel like that's the concept
yourself.
If you don't know your definition of showing off, you could be, by having a bad version of showing off, you could be doing more damage than good because you will rush to everything and try to do something that you might not be capable of doing. Mm-hmm. So it's like you risk looking bad, but like showing off can also be a good thing. You know what I mean? But again, it has to happen naturally.
In my eyes, showing off would be doing something on the bandstand. If you're talking about playing,
yep,
that is maybe doesn't have that much to do with the song and it doesn't have that much to do with where you were in your solo. Let's say you're soloing and you have this epic build and this story, and then you get to this end and this crescendo and it's insane and you do all this crazy shit. Like, that's not showing off, because that's just
good storytelling.
You know what I mean? Like, that's a great story. Yeah. But if you just kind of like do some crazy shit out of nowhere and it doesn't really make sense to me, you're just kind of like,
I like that.
You have some cool licks that you have prepared and that you think will get a reaction, or you hope they will, from the crowd or from other musicians.
And you're paying attention more to the reaction than what you're actually doing.
Correct. Yeah. You could also have that same principle in your career. For instance, if you are always name dropping, that's kind of the showing off equivalent. There's plenty of people. I've always told people this in the music industry. It's really hard to fake shit because it's a small community and everyone knows each other. So if you're name dropping past high school, you should stop, unless it's really someone that you've played with and it's part of the conversation and it's, you know, not considered like a real name drop. But if you're at a event, you're like, oh yeah, you know, I played with, you know, I know Ben Monder. They're like, oh yeah, well, I was just hanging out with him last week. What's your name? I was at this jazz workshop and I just said hi, you know? I mean, you can't get caught like that. So don't be that person.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And make sure that if you played on something, I've heard musicians say this often, when you're putting your credits down, don't just like include musicians that were
in the same state when you were in the studio.
No, or were guests with your college big band. You know what I mean? Stuff like that. Like Wynton Marsalis came to play with our college big band. So I technically played with, you can't put Wynton in your credits. You know, you weren't hired by him, or, you know, you weren't hired by like Shirley Horn or like whoever it is, you know. So regardless of who it is, make sure that, you know, you're accurate with what you're telling people and you don't sound like a fool when you get caught. Yeah. So that is part of trying to show off.
Goes right in line with like the way movies do it, man. Like, showing off is, it's deeper than people think. Like, here's how a movie would show off the hero. And they actually do this in the show a bunch too. The Cobra Kai, they want to show off because they're mad at Miyagi for trying to show their stuff off. So they go and they ruin their whole event, right? And then they do their thing. It's super, everyone loves it, right? People are going to love it.
The people will love it.
Like, short term, right?
Yeah. It's a better show.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's a big firework festival.
Yeah. Like, he took advantage of a weakness and he used it to show off, right? But then you get how a hero shows off, you know, how screenwriters write this is basically they'll show you the hero not do something and then give you a glimpse of the fact that they not only know how to do that, but they know how to do it better than anyone else. But they didn't use it in the time that would have made them look like a hero, right? So, like,
or you can save someone from a burning building, and no one knows about it, and you don't tell anybody about it.
So, you know, Daniel like rescues a certain someone, and someone gets it on the phone, and this is like what they've been needing to get more students, and he says, "No, we're not showing that. I'm not going to parade, you know, the fact that I did this, even though I was protecting you." Like, it ends up getting out anyway, but like the concept is like, you know how to do something. It doesn't mean that you show it off in every moment. Like, that's a real hero thing.
It's not necessarily showing off if you're letting people know what you can do, because there's certain people that are very humble that just talk, like Julian Lage, you know, he just starts playing. The guy's humble and a beautiful person. And he just plays and you're like, holy shit.
You could just tell. You're like, this motherfucker, he has no limits.
He's fluent.
Like, what the
hell? Yeah. And the other way to show off, which would kind of go hand in hand with this, is by making other people feel bad about what they're up to.
Yeah.
It could even be on a social media front. I mean, some people do that, but it could also be in person. For instance, if someone says, you know, you're talking to someone at a club, like, what are you up to? Oh, you know, I haven't been gigging that much. Like, what are you doing? Oh, well, you know, I was just, you know, playing with, you know,
the Eagles,
Jack DeJohnette, and like, and then I did this gig with Keith Jarrett, and like, I mean, you can say all that if it's true and if it's in a really nice way, but if you're saying it in order to elicit a response, it's pretty obvious. I mean, yeah. You know, and the way you say it, I mean, we're all in this together, and you know, you may or may be lucky at the moment, and you know, you might be having a good run. That doesn't mean that a year from now, you know, you're going to be in the same position, or in 10 years.
Yeah.
There are many great musicians, I won't mention their names, that were, you know, the most A-list people in the 90s, and you know, they're bankrupt now.
The tables
and,
turn a lot in this business.
Yeah, tables turn.
You have like, to like be okay with the person that's sitting on the other end of that table always.
And you know what? Like if you are down and out at some point, and you are a good person in your life, and you made a lot of great musical friendships and connections, you'll get help. Like you'll get people donating money to you of that really made a lot for their lives because you were such a good person. And on the contrary, if you're not a nice person through all that, you might be alone and bitter and poor. And this is, you know, you can't be so short-sighted as a musician. Remember, no matter how famous you are or how high profile your gigs are, I mean, how much money do you have in your 401k right now? Like, do you have a house? Do you have any? I mean, these are like weird foreign words to musicians. You know what I mean? Like, we're not set up the way that like a hedge fund manager is set up, or that, you know, in the highest echelons of music industry, those people have a lot of money. But for the majority of even very high profile jazz musicians, if they're unable to tour for a few years, they might be in deep trouble. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like,
well, I mean, you know, look at like expenses, like a lot of jazz musicians, they're very smart people and like they live in big cities. So big cities create a problem with just like schools. So like, you know, if they have kids, they're probably sending them to private schools or like they move to a really expensive neighborhood, which is expensive because of the good public schools that they have, you know? So like the shit adds up and like that, that can become something you cannot afford very quickly. It'll burn right through your savings.
And you have to remember that, like, if you're young and you're hungry and you're one of those people on the bandstand that's kind of vibing people, and you know, and someone else gets on stage and you're they're not up to it, and you're physically and verbally saying shit to, you know, it's obvious, you know, it turns into a thing. If that's you and you're doing that, like, what if that person not only excels as a musician but gets another gig? They're not going to call you. And also, what if they do something else that's not even related, and then all of a sudden you want to be part of it? Like, they end up doing I don't know, arranging for a big artist, and like that person needs a drummer or someone else. Like, they're never going to say your name. And a matter of fact, if they say it, they're going to say, don't hire that person.
Yeah.
So like, no matter who you are in contact with, even if you think it's a lesser player or something like that, you don't know what part of the industry that person's going to be in. They could be in a record company eventually. You know, they could have a masterclass website like me. They could have, you know, be an MD for an artist. They can do anything. And you just shot down something because of your own ego. Anyway. Go on, Jake.
Here's like a question. If you found out something about a fellow musician and could use it against them to steal their gig, would you do it? Like, that's a question that kind of comes into play. There's like, you know, would you ever blackmail someone to get their gig? Would you tell lies to like get a gig? Like, it's the whole getting a gig thing can be like a situation that's put right in front of your face, because you might be talking to a music director where they're discussing something and you're like, I bet if I fucking tell them this shit, you know, I might get this gig instead. Like, all that kind of stuff, I feel like happens more than people talk about, because all this business is built, like you said, it's on relationships and personalities. So like, those are questions you need to ask yourself, because you need like a clear line. If that's ever, like, if you tell this music director that so-and-so has a problem with drinking, and then they hire you, and then that gets back to that other person, that's awful. Or do you go to that other person instead and say, hey man, like, you should get this shit in control, because I feel like it's going to hurt your career and people might use that against you. Let's get you, you know what I mean? Like, do you pick like helping a fellow musician out instead of like using their weakness for you to get ahead? Like, those are, that comes up a lot, I feel like, in this business.
Yeah. I mean, it would definitely come up a lot. I mean, there's so much in that. And if you were to go to someone and try to help them with their problem, with no one around to write that down or to make a movie out of it. It's just because you're trying to help them.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to say that, hey, you know, you shouldn't hire this person because I saw them drinking so much they shit themselves in a, in an airplane, you know what I mean? Jesus. And then they, or something like that, then you're just talking shit and trying to get ahead. And you know what?
And it's like, unsolicited. It's just like, why? Yeah. Why? You know?
And to be honest, if someone were to tell me that and I was an MD of a gig, I would definitely feel pretty strongly that the person telling me that was kind of an asshole.
Yeah.
I would look into it and I would find out if it was true. And if it were true, I may or may not hire that other person. If I couldn't find that they were reliable, if it really was bad, but I would definitely not hire like the, what would you call it? Tattletale?
In this version of what we're doing, it's Cobra Kai, but in other books and stories, like that would be a Slytherin house, you know, in the Harry Potter universe. Like, does that, like he does some shit where he tattles and he's like waiting for his award and they take points from him. And he's like, what are you talking about? Why would you take points from me? Cause that's a dick thing to do is like, you know, just tattle someone to get ahead yourself, you know?
Yeah.
And like, and then again, on the opposite side,
right,
there's a part in that where, you know, Gryffindor, he stands up for what he believes to be right. And he stands up to his best friend. And then the best friend, like they get him out of the way and stuff like that. But he gets points rewarded later because they're saying it's very easy to stand up against your enemies, but it's way harder to stand up against your friends. So this comes in, that's a very Miyagi-Do, you know, Bruce Lee kind of thing of like, you know, what's right is right. If you think something is right, you have to like fight for that, you know, and, and it's very hard to do with your friends, but in the music world, that's something that is very important too. Like you need to tell your friends when they're doing something wrong because you don't want them to go down that path, you know?
Yeah. And I've had friends that have quit drinking because word got around that they were drinking a lot. And it wasn't really affecting, I mean, for me as an outside person, I could see this person play drunk or sober and they always sounded good. But it got around and there are band leaders that are concerned about that. And they would say, well, you know, if this person's going to be drinking too much on the road, like, what if they get wild? Even if they don't get wild, it's not, you don't want to have the rep of being like the drunk person. And that person started losing work about from that and eventually stopped drinking.
Yeah. The word is more dangerous than the booze. Like that's as far as the career. Yeah. But you know what I mean? Like,
You won't get liver cancer.
Yeah. But as soon as that word is out, that's going to do more damage than, than, you know, alcohol, like playing an instrument drunk can ever do.
Right.
Because you're not even going to get the fucking gig.
Yeah.
Anyway, the things that could get confused is when you're dealing with confidence. This is where Cobra Kai shines. Now, there is a clear line between confidence and cockiness. And that's, again, like if you're doing Miyagi-Do the correct way, you should be very confident, but not cocky. So like for me, this is where shit gets crazy because here's like a question. Would you shy away from an audition because you think you're not good enough? Do you say no to gigs because of confidence issues? Like, would you shy away from a jam session because you don't know every single tune that's ever been played? You know what I mean? Like all this stuff, a yes man, a Cobra Kai would just go and they would do it even if they aren't quote unquote prepared for it. Mm-hmm. This is like the gray area stuff, you know?
I don't think it's that gray because to be honest, like you have to know their skills and just because, I mean, you do need the confidence to go, but you also need the training. So false confidence is worse. Like if you think that's what happens in the American Idol auditions. Yep. It's like people who think they're the next American Idol, but like really can't sing at all. No, like, I mean, that's why they're on
one
TV.
Song for a year, you know?
No, whatever. I mean, it's just like literally people that can't sing. I mean, not like,
oh, you mean like the real bad shit?
Yeah. Like
I've never
like
watched an episode of that shit, so I have no idea.
No. I'm talking about like the auditions that they pick worst ones and the best ones and the best ones go through. And it's like the worst part of our society. Like they show for us to laugh at the worst auditions. It is because they just show like the worst auditions for us to laugh at. You know what I mean? Like supposed to, we're mocking like these people who believe that they can sing and they can't.
Yeah.
but it is pretty rough. Anyway, the point is that if you're in Cobra Kai and you have trained a certain level, but you're not really prepared for, you know, the jam session or whatever it is, you know, being super confident isn't really going to help you in that situation because it's a nuanced situation. You're not just punching someone in the face. You know, that's a little different.
So this is why it's great to me is like, how do you know? How do you know if you're ready? Like, that's the shit.
How do you know?
Because I've gotten yelled at many times. People being like, dude, go fucking jam with those cats. Like, you're good enough. And
you just have to go.
I'm like, I'm not. You know what I mean? Like, I can't do what they do. I do not have the language. It is a gray area, I feel like.
I feel this way. I feel like if you set goals for yourself and you say, I'm going to practice this every day, like in order to go to a jam session, I'm going to practice all the tunes they play at the jam session. Like, I've went a few times. I know the repertoire, what keys are played. I've recorded it maybe, so I know that some of the substitutions. Yeah. I've even listened to some very good players solo over this stuff or what they do. And I'm going to shed
that. It's the preparation.
Yeah, I'm going to prep that for 3 weeks, four weeks.
What would be differences in the way of thought through preparation between a Cobra Kai and a Miyagi-Do? Like, how do you think those two traits look at preparation? Because I think, like, you're right. But it's like, you know, what is that preparation? How does that look like to the two traits?
I think that maybe the Cobra Kai Miyagi-Do thing doesn't work as well for the situation. But to me, it's like, in order to be a good musician on the stage, you have to be pretty Miyagi-Do in general. I mean, you have to be listening to the others and flowing with their ideas and doing all these things and not being about yourself. Because if you're just thinking about yourself, you're not going to be able to do the jam session, which means that if you have a Cobra Kai mentality, I guess it does apply because of this. Like, if you went to a jam session and you're confident and you're just thinking about yourself, it means that someone could literally switch keys of a tune and you might not notice because you're so in your own head about doing your thing. Yeah. Like, the drummer or someone might reverse the beat and then everyone follows except you. Or maybe you reverse the beat and you don't realize how to get back because you're not listening to the other people. I mean, being a musician is so much about, if you're playing with the group, it's so much about listening to others, because if you get off, you're going to find that you're going to be able to get back on track by listening to them. And also, playing music on a stage isn't a static situation where it's not like playing to a record. Things change. People have their own things. You're dealing with other personalities and they might interject something and you have to catch it, or
that's
maybe
true
someone
democracy.
Put this,
it really
yeah,
is.
Maybe someone, but it's instant. It's improvised, right? So someone might just like start playing a riff and then everyone starts playing it and they're like, oh, this will be in the, and you just make an intro on the spot to a tune because someone started, like, it's not about me. It's about all, you know, it's about us.
I like that. And I think to add to like the two houses of traits, I think as far as preparation goes, you have to know how to be honest with yourself. And I think that's a very Miyagi-Do trait as opposed to Cobra Kai. A Cobra Kai will not look inner. They will not look inward. And like, I think the only true way to prepare like you have to know what your weaknesses are. And to a Cobra Kai, the weakness is weakness. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like
they don't want to be seen as weak.
Yeah, exactly. And it's all self-preservation. So that's not honesty. You know, in Miyagi-Do, like, there's a lot of patience. There's a lot of, you know, you're painting fences. You're thinking about stuff that has nothing to do with karate. You know what I mean? But at the same time, you're building a skill. But also, like, you're looking inward all the time.
You're building up your mind.
Yeah. Yeah. And I actually, like, I was thinking about this last night because I'm trying to stay on the meditation route, but it's very hard. And it's very hard because, you know, think what you want, but like, I'm a musician and I've done a lot of drugs in my life. So like, drugs, I'm like, why am I fucking meditating? Like, why am I doing 20 minutes twice a day of transcendental meditation when I could just smoke weed and like instantly be a fucking meditation guru, like without doing any work? And that's the thing. That's a shortcut, and that's not really, you're not actually solving anything or figuring anything out. You're just getting euphoria. Where meditation, like, it's going to take me like a few months of doing this stuff before I see any sort of like actual drug-induced state. You know what I mean? Quote unquote. And I kind of think that that's like the two schools too. It's just like shortcuts.
Well, I mean, I would add to that and say that, you know, I've obviously smoked my share of marijuana and done other things in my life. As you know, because I'm a professional musician after all. And I could say that that meditation is very, very, very different. Like yeah. just smoking or doing any drug or anything or drinking or whatever it is, it'll relax your mind chemically. But what meditation does is you're training your mind to focus. It's like training a muscle. Yeah. That doesn't happen by any drug, you know. Okay. I mean, yeah, you might get euphoria or other things from different pills and
it's
you know,
a false gut,
opiates and stuff. Yeah, but like none of that is actually relaxing your mind. A matter of fact, if anyone that's ever smoked weed and had a panic attack,
yeah,
would beg to differ and say that it made my mind race with strange thoughts. You know what I mean? Almost like when you're trying to go to sleep and you have all these random stuff popping out, and you start seeing the noise, you know what yeah. I mean? That's what happens in meditation. You actually see the noise passing by. It's like when you're about to go to sleep. And but when you smoke or you do anything like that, you know, it's and this is another topic that, you know, I know Jake and I could talk about. It's weird and it's controversial, but you know, I'll go into it because I was thinking about it the other day. If you're doing psychedelics, and I know Jake, when he was younger, he did acid and shrooms and stuff like
that's
that.
That's the time to do it, folks, when you have no responsibility.
Yeah, exactly. Trust me, I would not go anywhere near that right now. So if you're doing that kind of stuff, and even with weed to a certain extent, depending on how strong it is or what state of mind you're in, if you start to have either a bad experience or a bad trip, whatever pressure you have built up, like that pit in your stomach, that anxiety, like that, whatever energy you have that's negative, that is literally the same exact energy that is positive. It's just that you're construing it negative. Like if your brain switches and decides to have a good time,
yeah.
all that energy switches from like the worst shit you've ever experienced to the best shit you've ever experienced. That is something that is not just drug related.
I mean, you could split an atom and you could either
yeah.
destroy a city or give it clean energy.
Right. don't you agree with that? Because I was thinking that the other day. It's like, definitely. It's like, and you can switch it on a dime. Like
it's just energy.
See, and it's very apparent when you're doing these drugs, because it's like your body is so, you know, freaked out by what's in your system
yeah.
that you literally have all this energy. And if it's negative, if you just are guided or just guide yourself out of this zone you're in where you're tripping, you're basically thinking about
yeah.
something bad and you make it something good, all of a sudden all that negative energy turns positive and like instantly. Like it's not like, so it makes you realize that without drugs, like when you're on the bandstand and you're having a lot of anxiety, like all that anxiety could be creativity, could be euphoria, it could yeah. be whatever you want, but it's like it's not as obvious when you're not like, you know, on drugs sometimes, but it really is something that you can switch in your mind. It's completely mental, because unless you have a physical ailment that is bothering you, like, you know, a kidney stone or yeah. like whatever the case is, I mean, it's literally you flipping a switch. And that is something that, you know, may or may not be related to this episode, but I was thinking about it.
That's what meditation does. It gives you that yeah. training.
It gives you that training.
That's part
and that's
of
why
it,
it's,
you know?
Yeah. And that's why it's not the same thing as doing drugs, you know, and, yeah. you know, take it but from that, us.
And that's
we've
why
we've done them for you.
That's why I'm trying to master meditation, is like, as Adam knows, like if anything happens in my life, I have a very quick switch of like bad and good. Like I freak out about everything. If something happens, I go off the deep end. Like that's just,
you freaked out last night because of your computer.
Yeah. Like I do this every day. Like, and I see it in my father's side of the family. They're all fucking crazy. We just have like a hot temper and we just go, everything's, you can't fix anything. Or the whole world is fucked, you know, because of this one thing. So it's like, if I do drugs, all it does is just accentuate that and make it fucking worse. You know what I mean?
But that's all it does for anyone.
Yeah. But if I like meditate and learn how to like figure that shit out, then that stuff will start solving itself. Like and that's why I choose meditation, you know? And that's, and again, it's the Miyagi-Do versus Cobra Kai. It's like a Cobra Kai doesn't care. they want to accentuate everything. Like, just no matter what, it's like, I just want to do this more and punch this harder and blah, blah. There's no like inner fixing. There's nothing that, you know, in that world.
You know, the problem really comes around when you have big problems and the only way you can solve them is like literally by doing something, you know, like if the only thing that helps your anxiety is a Xanax, like, you know, which is a pill that, you know, oh, it's legal. It's a pill that my, you know, my doctor gave me. It's not great that you have to take that every time you get anxious, you know? And you know, I'm not a doctor.
It's supposed to be used as a tool to help you through it. It's not supposed to be used as you do it every time you ever feel anything bad.
Yeah. And again, like, as you know, if you listen to this podcast, my wife is in mental health. So, and I know that there are people that are prone chemically to anxiety and depression. And that is beyond the scope of just like, hey, lighten the fuck up. You know what I mean? You can't just tell someone to stop.
Eat a burrito.
Stressing.
Fuck it. What's your problem?
Chill the fuck out. Here, watch Harold and Kumar. You'll relax, you know? No, it's not always that easy. I get it. But the point is that doing something like meditation is actively training your mind to chill out in those situations. And that's what we all want to do. Even if you occasionally smoke weed or you have some drinks or you're doing all that stuff, like, meditation is something to do. It's not like you do one or the other. You know what I mean? Like, that is something that helps you no matter who you are. And even if you don't do it all the time, if you had done it regularly at some point in your life, those skills don't go away. No. Even though I'm not as regular as I used to be with meditation, if I find myself in a stressful situation, I can get back into that state instantly with closing my eyes and getting right into it and chilling the fuck out. So, you know, that's some vital stuff because, you know, as you know, the world can change instantly. Gigs can be crazy. Work can be crazy. You can be in an environment where something bad happens and you need to be able to think on your feet and stay sane, you know?
The one defining character that both of these dojos have is that they see something they don't like and they want to change it. It's a very do something about it attitude with both. And that's why like Johnny and Daniel are very similar, you know, which they start to realize, you know, Johnny's problems were different than Daniel's problems, but like they both did something about it, you know, and then from there, you know, they have their differences. But like Johnny isn't like a lazy, shitty person. Like he works hard, you know, and that's like, those are the two things where they agree and which you should always just like, that's where you got to start is you fucking do something about whatever your problems are. And that's, you know.
And Johnny, who started in the original movie as like a one dimensional villain almost, you start to see that not everyone is all good and all bad. Yep. And then you start to see that maybe Kreese, who is his teacher, who is Martin Cove, who is fucking amazing. I love him. He was in like Rambo and all that shit, you know? Yeah. He's like 90 and still scary as hell, you know? And Martin Cove, you know, who you'll find out, Jake, you know, as you watch, like obviously, you know, Martin Cove is more evil in quotes than Johnny, you know, and he's the one that taught him and damaged a lot of people. He was also a kid at one point who was... There's always another side to that.
You're peeling the onion, man.
Yeah, you're peeling the onion. So not everyone is 100% good and bad, but, you know, I think we've talked about a lot here. And, you know, one thing to wrap this whole thing up, which I think is super cool, when we're talking about music and Miyagi-Do versus Cobra Kai is that if we go back to the title, which was what? Play First, Play Hard, No Mercy?
Yeah.
Well, literally, Cannonball Adderley wrote this amazing song, which everyone knows at every jam session called Mercy, Mercy, Mercy. One of the classic songs. And he's clearly from Miyagi-Do.
Hell yeah.
Mercy, mercy, mercy.
Mercy cubed, son.
All right, until next time.
See ya.
Questions, comments, episode ideas, hate mail, you can get in touch with us by contact form, email, or voicemail, all of which are available at our website, theperformerspathway.com. If one of your questions or topics makes it into the podcast, with your consent, of course, you'll receive a shiny new $10 gift card for use at mymusicmasterclass.com. That's our sister website, which contains over 600 original educational videos from your musical heroes. So, look forward to hearing from you.